You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Evening, everybody. It is another one of our Blue Room Extra Previews here on The Blue Room. Big news today, of course, the Dominic Calvert-Lewin's three-game ban has been reversed, which is excellent news. We also spoke about Amadou Onana being linked with a move away from the club and Hannah Bolton-Ridgeby from Manchester United being linked with a potential loan move, plus all the latest on the potential takeover from 777. If you'd like to listen to this podcast in full, it is available on our Blue Room Extra service. It's patreon.com/theblueroomextra. There's also a link directly to the show in the description of this podcast. It's patreon.com/theblueroomextra. This is the segment on Amadou Onana and his future. Hopefully you enjoy it, and hopefully we see you over on the Blue Room Extra too.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think he will go this January. I think for the reasons you've given, that we won't be able to get a replacement in time, and the fact that those suitors who seem to be, or the rumour to be interested in them, Barcelona was the original link, wasn't it, and Arsenal. I think there's financial issues there themselves with both of them clubs to whereby they probably wouldn't be able to make that move in this window. He has shown flashes of things where I think people can look at it and go, that's what you pay all the money for, or that's what Everton will look to recoup as much as they can for, because he has shown flashes of brilliance. I think at the same time that, though, he is one of them players who has us pulling our hair out. The Wolves game, for instance, I know they were all poor that day, but I think I made the point on this show a lot of time. When you're the team who's struggling, or when you need something, he's the type of player who you want to see take the game and dominate it. He's got all the attributes to do that. But then, like Luke's just quite perfectly summed up, he's a 22-year-old lad. I mean, really, I know he's a big physical presence, but at 22, no one should be dominating games. I mean, it's only the likes of Vieira and people like that who've done it in the past. No one else has really been able to do that at that age. So I think there's a patience game. I think for his career, I agree that he probably could do with another season at Everton and then move on from there. I think that would probably do him well. However, I've changed my whole view on transfers and everything now. Whereas in the past, and I think when we were tending to look up and, you know, look up the table and trying to keep hold of the likes of Lukaku and players like that we've had in the past, I just look at how all these clubs in the Premier League even have been so successful in selling them players and then recouping the money and reinvesting it really well. Now, we haven't historically in the recent memory reinvested or spent well. However, what I would say is I think in the short term we have done okay. You know, I think of the likes of Mikhailenko, I think of the likes of Onana himself, I think of the likes of, you know, Dwight McNeil. They're players who've come in and been relatively successful signing. Still a lot to prove and still a long way to go before you go, yeah, that's a good signing that Everton have made. But I think we've got to look at it now. And I always keep referring to Brighton on here, but the way Brighton go about things, where they sell these players for top money and they seem to have four or five lined up that they replace them with, and they don't seem to lose a step or, you know, or get any weaker for it. You know, they sold, who's the Caicedo they sold to Chelsea, wasn't it, in the summer?
115 million, wasn't it?
Yeah, being replaced. And they've probably made or probably still got a lot of money from the fact that they sold, you know, him to Chelsea. So I'd like to see us go a little bit more in that direction. With the likes of Onana, I'd love to keep him, don't get me wrong. I think Palace, the Palace game, he showed exactly what the type of player he could be. I thought he was outstanding in that game. I thought he really dominated that midfield and showed what a presence he can be. However, if a club this January comes in with stupid money, you've got to get rid of him. You've got to be, and not because I want to, there's the cat there. Not because I want to, but just because it's business sense for Everton. It's not as simplistic. I mean, I know there's going to be rumours, particularly in the summer as well, with Branthwaite, and they've already started to happen now. They're probably two of our best assets at the minute. Young, Branthwaite, you know, left-footed centre-half. Onana, as we've mentioned there, a bit of a leader, captain already of the national team, got the whole, you know, footballing world in front of him. Between them two, you know, we could sit here and argue over what we think they're worth and what we'd like to get. You know, we could talk north of 100 million, whatever. Let's just use 100 million as a fee. I think it's too simplistic to say, oh, we'll sell them two for 100 million and then we'll spend 60 million bringing in another four players to replace them. That's, in this ideal world, that's perfect to do. But I think someone, I read somewhere that we've got a sell-on clause with Onana. There'll probably be some sort of thing with Carlisle as well for Branthwaite. We've probably got, you know, stadium costs and that thing to pay. I know we're going to talk about 777 later. They'll probably want to recoup some of their loans. So we probably wouldn't see all of the money. However, the money we do get, I'd like to see Everton reinvest. So unless we're going to get stupid money this January, Matt, definitely not sell them now. But I'd like to see... It sounds horrible to say because you'd never want to lose your best players, but if they're destined to leave us, these players who are real assets, I'd like to see us really use the money wisely and bring in maybe two or three players to replace them who could really benefit the team. And I think that's what Everton will try to do going forward.
Yeah, it seems like that should be the strategy. Mick, how good do you think Onana can be? And just sort of look at him and think if he is going to be reach his full potential, this Everton team and the way we play necessarily are a good vehicle for him to do that. Like, it just feels like he doesn't really suit the way that we play, in the sense of he always wants to get the ball off the centre back. He always wants to, like, sort of feel contact from a midfielder and turn them and do all those sorts of things that I can't imagine Sean Dyche necessarily likes very much.
No, and I think he's a midfielder and he plays in a team that, you know, invariably doesn't play through the midfield. So obviously, I think in terms of that side of his game is never going to be, you know, a prominent feature really in terms of being, you know, a big plus for us, because it's just not something, and understandably, you know, in terms of, you know, the characteristics of how Sean Dyche likes to play football, it's just not in his nature. And I think probably they are not the perfect fit. But to me, it doesn't really, and I think we've seen it this season, hasn't really prevented his progress. I think he's been fantastic this year, to be honest. I think other than the odd occasion where, you know, like Luke and Warren have pointed out, you know, you can always bring up his age as an excuse, I suppose. But also the fact that, and what's probably forgotten actually because of his age is the amount of football he's actually played prior to Everton. I think it was like 25 league starts and competitive football before he signed for Everton for like 30 million quid, which is obviously a lot of money despite his talent, for quite a largely inexperienced footballer. So I think that is sometimes overlooked as well. But really, I think in terms of, I think I could understand maybe your, look, talking to Matt anyway, I suppose reservations and other people's reservations this time last year, because I think I was probably in the same category as we can all see. And I think it's probably a fair conclusion amongst everyone that everyone could see his attributes. Everyone could see that, you know, he'd have certain games, you know, every now and then where he'd absolutely dominate a game of football. And, you know, I think in particular, ironically, I think we lost against Southampton in Lampard's last home game. I thought he was brilliant that day. And I think the Wolves game before that as well, I thought he was amazing. And, you know, there was always, I suppose, you know, little hints at what the future is for him. And I think he's been a lot more consistent to the point that maybe you just don't notice it as much anymore. I don't want to go over the top in terms of how good he's been, because he's hardly been outstanding. He's definitely not been Everton's best player this season, but I do think maybe it goes under the radar a little bit in terms of how important he is. And I'd personally be I don't think worried is probably the word, but I think I'd be maybe a lot more sceptical about our, you know, chances for the rest of the season if he wasn't in the team or if we had to sell him. You know, I'm of the personal opinion that he'd probably start for the vast majority of teams in the league now, other than City and Arsenal.
Right,
to be
now,
honest.
You'd say, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. City and Arsenal, probably the only two, I'd say.
I don't think he gets in Villa's midfield. Kamara and Douglas Luiz.
Villa. And maybe Chelsea, considering the amount of money that they've actually spent on midfield already. But I do think he is, you know, I know certain people don't particularly see it. And I think you made a very good point yesterday, I think it was, and that there are certain players who just don't really embody Everton, and therefore fans will never maybe, I suppose, connect to them in the same way as, you know, workhorses will, or, you know, people who maybe are more technical than hard work, and if that makes sense. And I think you do see that, and sometimes, and his style of play seems, you know, appears to be quite lax, if that makes sense. That there are games where, you know, you know obviously he is trying, and you know the work rate is there, but just his, I suppose, you know, personality on the pitch, it doesn't really come across as evident as someone like James Garner, for instance, who runs around like a headless chicken at times. You know, their styles of play are probably very, you know, polarizing and probably in different ways, you know, connect to Evertonians in more ways when you think of James Garner compared to Amadou Onana. But I'd say quite comfortably Amadou Onana is the much better footballer. But I suppose really, I think the main point of it is, you know, in two aspects, is this is the transfer that Everton should be making, you know, coming back to last summer and now trying to sell him on. You know, highly regarded players, you know, it was a big outlay at the time, but I'm fairly confident or hopeful anyway that Everton should be at least doubling their money on him in the summer. I think it would be scandalous if we sold them now. But yeah, I think from that perspective, I suppose the actual type of recruitment, the actual workings in the transfer market, this is what Everton needs to be doing, because I do think, you know, with him and with Jared Brathwaite, we're talking about, you know, I suppose massive assets for the football club at the moment, and those assets are needed more than ever considering the state of the finances. So yeah, I know it's he can divide opinion at times, but I personally I'm a big fan, and I do think he'll go on to play Champions League football and play for some of the best teams, whether it be in this league or maybe he might be suited to European football on a more consistent basis. But I think he's just very good. Very good. Sports Social Podcast Network.